medical intuition. You go through stages of figuring out how to teach people about intuition. Is it a science that can be taught, and can you really develop your intuitive skills? And you know that there's a whole wave of myth that would suggest that strong intuition is a gift. But you know what? It's not a gift, and it never has been. What it has to do is with self-esteem. If you can't hear your intuition, it's because you don't respect yourself enough, or you don't regard yourself enough. If you need the approval of other people to even hear your guidance, to accept that voice within, if you get a hit that says, you know, you ought to do this, or you should do this. And let's say, in keeping with the nature of the gods, high voltage intuitive hits tend to have the following characteristics. They tend not to look like anything you usually do in your life. They tend to direct you to do something you have very little skill at doing, so that it's so juxtaposed to your familiar self that you think, how could I hear such a thing? How could I hear a voice like this? How could it be talking to me? This is not me. And that's the difference between the mental world, where it's very easy for you to pick up something and look at it and say, yeah, I'm trained to do this, or I'm trained to do that. But the intuitive process, that spiritual self-esteem, is when you're directed to do things you've no skill for, or very little. And there's a reason in the strategy of heaven, which is, if heaven directs you to do something that you really have no earth skill savvy in, there's a real good chance you're going to depend on guidance in a way that you've never been dependent before. In other words, it keeps you praying more, and it keeps you living in mystery, as opposed to living in that sense of, I know what to do, I know how to do it, I know this and I know that, which is an artificial self-esteem. The state of truly the humble self-esteem is the direction we're going. That sense of genuine self-esteem, believe it or not, is the power to be invisible. It's the power to not need applause for your actions, not need recognition for your kindness. It's the ability to live an invisible life. And when you reach that point, think clearly how the gods work. Heaven works invisibly. Unfortunately, we would prefer it to be otherwise, especially under times of duress. We would love to see the mountains move and the waters part. That's exactly when they won't, oftentimes. But if you think about it, heaven has so much self-regard that it travels invisibly through your life. It just doesn't show off. And what I want to examine with you in great depth is that this emerging age of spirituality has redefined and caused a need for an entirely new concept of self-esteem, which includes, for the first time, the need to manage your thoughts, the need to manage your psyche and your soul according to a scale of awareness that never existed before. Prior to now, we defined self-esteem according to a more, I'll call it tribal, I mean family, I mean the collective body of from where you've come, your people. Self-esteem was defined by you living up to the expectations of the groups and the people from which you've come. And probably you've done the same for your own children. You've given them a standard. And that's not a bad thing. But if you think about it, and I can see on your faces, most of you are looking like, yeah, you want to know what they did to me? Like, your entire response is abuse, and I see it all over your face. And that's how you've come to know yourself. In this contemporary time, most people get introduced to their, quote, self through their pain. through standing up and saying, see what my family did to me. You want, how much scar tissue do you have? And you know, I'll tell you something. It is so amazing to me. I want you to think about this. Years ago, forever ago, I remember when I was growing up, I can see it as clear as if my dad were standing right here. I remember my dad and mom at a kitchen table, and it was around an election time, and I was a kid. I was in grade school. And I remember they were talking about who they were going to vote for or something, and I asked who so-and-so voted for. There was some kind of discussion like that. And my parents' response was, you never ask anybody who they vote for. That's private. That's totally private. Do you know today this kind of information is so not private? You wear it on your buttons. You wear it on the bumper of the car. My point is that what we reveal as what is indicative of the self is so different. Back then, to reveal the self was in such small doses of such incredible things. Like you might have to be with someone for months and months before you even knew what political affiliation they had, or however it is we slowly revealed who we were, ourself. Because in an interesting way, you were revealing your entire history. You stood in front of somebody as a representative of your family. You represented your religion and your history and your culture, all of this, and what they expected of you, and this is how you knew yourself. Now, I go to my workshops, and I hear people, it's so amazing to me. They come in, they just meet each other, and within 20 seconds, they're bypassing, where do you live? I live here. What do you do? I live there. Are you vegetarian? No, good. We'll have lunch. And then you get to the pains. Now you've known each other 2 minutes, and it's, what are your wounds? Ugh, you should see my family. I should see your family. And that's what you did with me. And I need to emphasize that because it's quite extraordinary. And it's, are you willing to go one step further? Are you willing to go that next step that says, okay, now that I know myself, what am I going to do about it? Because you're caught in that middle zone that is so, so vulnerable. And that's when you know yourself through your wounds or your pain, you're going to create a whole culture around that. And you will. You will create that culture. And you'll learn to maneuver because we are so adaptable. We are so incredibly adaptable. This is going to sound like the most peculiar example.